Welcome to episode 243 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to update your game collection on Board Game Geek, if you're me, that is. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, I've got a game for Ambie to play. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, Ghost Stories and The Great Evening Banquet. Then, I challenge Ambie to see how well she knows her own games. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambie
and Crystal.
Recently, I haven't really played many new games, but I did play an old to me game.
an older game.
Yeah. Ghost Stories. I played Ghost Stories again recently. Ghost Stories is a cooperative game for 1 to 4 players, published in 2008. I'm so used to saying 20 now. 2008.
Yeah, like we say 20 for everything, but yeah, like 2008, I guess, is, well, yeah.
Yeah, so published in 2008, Ghost Stories, designed by Antoine Bauza, published by Repos Production. It's 1 to 4 players, 60 minutes. It's a cooperative game where you are defeating ghosts. The goal of the game is to survive long enough to defeat, like, the, I forget what it's called. We didn't get to it, but
I know it's sometimes called Wu Kang, right?
Ghost. But yeah, it's like a bigger Wu Fang is like the bigger ghost at the end. We did not get to Wu Fang, spoiler.
I don't know how I could remember that. It's been literally years since the last time I played Ghost Stories.
Yeah, I never like call it by the name. But anyways, in the game, there's 4 character players that have different special powers, and there's 4 boards around, and there's a 3x3 grid randomized each time. There's 9 tiles, and they like go in the 3x3 grid, and each space is like a different village space. And so on your turn, you can move a space and then do that power on the village space or try to defeat a ghost that you're next to. And so on the side of the 3x3 grid are the player boards, and those have spaces for 3 ghosts. So there's going to be like 1 ghost space per edge of the 12 edges of this 3x3 grid. So on your turn, you draw a ghost, place it, and the ghosts are sometimes bad and make you draw more ghosts. Then you go around, try to do the powers to defeat the ghosts. And to defeat a ghost, each ghost has a different color and like amount that you need to defeat it. So like a ghost will have maybe 3 blue or something, and that means you have to roll 3 blue to defeat it. But you have 3 dice that have different colors, and you also have tokens that you can gather that can help you with those rolls, because you can't, sometimes there's like ghosts that are 4 black and you only have 3 dice, so you obviously can't defeat that ghost normally with just rolling. So usually it's hard to defeat ghosts just from rolling dice. And then some ghosts make it so that you can't roll dice, or like they take away some of your dice, or you can't use tokens. And yeah, in our game we played 2 players. I don't think I've played 2 players before. I think I've mostly played 4 players, because there's like 4 characters and then each of them get a power. When you play with 2 players, there's only 2 of you, and it's kind of harder because the ghosts can still go on all parts of the board, but you're only 2 people, and so you're trying to go around to the different areas of the board. And if you're on one corner of the board, it's really hard to get to the other corner of the board to defeat the ghosts. And like some of the ghosts, if you leave them out too long, they'll haunt the board, and that's like a lose condition. So that actually happened in our game. Like a bunch of ghosts came out one turn and we were in the corner, and then we just died. But yeah, it's hard.
This is one of those co-op games that I feel like was kind of, at least for me, like one of the first co-op games that I knew of that was like, everybody was like, it's hard. Like you almost never win, but like the challenge of trying to win was kind of what made it fun.
Yeah, it's definitely better at like 4 players, I think, because then everyone gets the role. And at 2 players, we also had this token that you can spend to use one of the non-playing players' power, and then that like gets put in the middle and you can go pick it up. Oh, also each character has different powers. The boards are double-sided, so you randomly pick which power, and we got like the worst power. like there's some powers that are better than others when on the double-sided board, and it's not as good when you get the horsepower. It's a lot harder. So
but I don't like, know if you're aware, but there's no board game police that will stop you if you choose the other power.
I know, but I mean, it was already set up and stuff, so we had already set it up and we're playing. And but yeah, like I think if you're playing with more players and you have the better powers and you don't get unlucky with the ghost draws, because we also got unlucky. Like we were were doing really well until like one turn when one ghost came out that brought out another ghost and like also stole a die. And like, so like maybe three ghosts came out on one turn. It stole one of our dice, and then the ghost came out that makes it so you can't use tokens. So we only had two dice. We couldn't use tokens. So like we can't kill any ghosts now because they're just rolling and trying to get what we need to kill it because we can't use the tokens that mitigate that. And like you can spend tokens for the specific colors. So yeah, when that happens, when those like a bunch of ghosts come out at once that are all really bad, that's when you lose, usually.
Ghost Stories, the board game for masochists.
Yeah, I have one before.
Do you
want
to suffer?
But... yeah, but I have
it
one
is
before,
fun.
Not this time.
It's, yeah, it is fun.
It's fun.
But I don't know why, because it is miserable, basically, while you're playing it. You're just like, oh no, oh no, 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 no. Okay, I hope that doesn't come out. Well, it came out, so oh gosh, no, like the whole time.
It is exciting defeating the ghosts and stuff, and like when you do
that's true.
Roll what you need to roll, and like, oh, I don't have to spend the token, or like, yeah, that was a good turn. We got rid of a couple of ghosts. And like when you go in the corner, you can defeat two ghosts at once, which is really nice because you're next to two of them. So if you're able to do that, it's really cool. But then there are times when it gets overwhelming and you get overrun. And that, I think that's what it's called, like getting overrun. So it does feel like you're just trying to survive the ghosts, which I guess is the theme of the game. So yeah, I like Ghost Stories. It's just we didn't do well in this one play and in other plays that we've done. But yeah, this was my first time playing two-player, I think.
That's how they're supposed to go, right? If you won them every time, they really wouldn't be that interesting.
Yeah, so that's Ghost Stories at two players. I like it more at four players. So maybe next time I'll play at four players and maybe we'll get closer to winning.
Awesome. I recently got to try one of the newest games from one of my favorite game designers, Sashi, published in 2025 from Sashi and Sashi. It is called The Great Evening Banquet. And like most Sashi and Sashi games, it has a unique theme that you don't typically see in board games with some lovely mechanisms to go along with it. So in The Great Evening Banquet, you are tasked with seating guests at a variety of VIP tables at a banquet. And each VIP table, the VIP wants different types of people at their table. The people that will be seated at the tables are represented by tokens, which come in a number of different colors and types. Like there will be male tokens that are like a bunch of colors, or female tokens, like old lady, young lady, old man, young man, like five different colors of tokens. And some of them have wine glasses. They are raising a glass to toast, and some of them are not. In addition, the VIP tables are set up in a little grid in front of you, and there are scoring conditions that are set up along the rows and columns of that grid, which will be part of the commemorative photography that gets taken at the end of the banquet. So during the course of the game, you and the other players are drafting people to seat at your tables. And when you draft, you get a number of tokens which represent the people, and then you can place them at any of your VIP tables, trying to meet, again, the requirements of that VIP, and also meeting the scoring requirements of the rows and columns for the end of the game. So there's a lot of like little different scoring mechanisms that you're trying to accommodate all at once. And obviously in any game like that, you're never going to be able to accommodate all of them. So trying to figure out how to optimize that is what you're really trying to do. And then once you fill up a table, meaning all of the seats around it have been filled by tokens, that table scores immediately for its VIP. And then once you hit a certain number on the score track, you actually have to swap out one of the guests at one of your tables with a guest from the main board. I don't quite understand why that is, but it was an interesting little mechanism because it's a required thing. It's not optional. You get to pick who you're swapping on your tables, but it was like you have to swap somebody, and there's four tokens to choose from on the main board that you can swap them with.
Was there a thematic reason for that? Or
if there was, I missed it. Literally, like the description I'm looking at on BGG just says you must swap a guest from the Grand Salon with one at your tables, and I don't know why that is. So I don't think Sashi listens to our podcast, but if you do, Sashi, I want to know why we're swapping a person, because that interests me. It's a fun little mechanism though, because I guess in theory, if you're doing well, you get to swap somebody sooner. So if you like the options in the Grand Salon, and it does also give you an opportunity to, if you've scored a VIP table well, but it doesn't match with the row or column it's in the ways that you want it to, you can score it and then later swap a person out mm-hmm. that'll make it better to score for the row or column. But you only get to do that one time. And I will admit, I like that swapping action, but I kind of wish you could do it more in that way, because you like having only one time to do it wasn't really enough. So then once everybody has filled up all of their tables, the game will end. And you score the commemorative photos that get taken, which are those row and column scoring conditions, and whoever has the most points wins. So relatively light and easy to teach, easy to learn, pretty quick to play. The theme is interesting and unique. I don't know of any others where you're seating people at a banquet. So, I mean, I like all of Sashi's games, and a lot of them do involve drafting of like pieces and parts that you then take and you do things with. So this has that kind of DNA shared with some of Sashi's other games that I also enjoy. So yeah, I really, really like it. I don't own it. My friend Greg, shout out to Greg, brought it over. And I looked on Sashi and Sashi's website, and it looks like they're sold out of basically everything right now. I don't know if they're looking to restock things, but at some point I will probably pick this up. I like supporting Sashi's work, and the game is quite fun. That is The Great Evening Banquet from Sashi and Sashi.
Nice.
All right, Ambi, I have been watching some board game content on YouTube recently, and while I have always enjoyed content made by friend of the show, Chaz Marler, so his YouTube channel used to be called Pair of Dice Paradise, and it is now called Game Night Picks, and Chaz is now making videos with other content creators that we are also friends with, Grant and Paula and some other folks are over there making videos with him, and I have to say, I've really been enjoying them. And so first off, I wanted to give, it's some good stuff. I wanted to give them a shout out so our listeners, in case they weren't aware, could go follow the Game Night Picks YouTube channel to check out those videos. And then recently, they did a game that I have taken a little inspiration from. I'm not doing the exact same thing they did, but it inspired the game that I'm going to make you play today, which we don't usually do games on our show. We're not, this game is broken over here. So
I'm nervous.
So the video that they did, it was guessing board games based on their tagline. What we're going to be doing is you are going to be guessing board games based on the first paragraph-ish of their description on Board Game Geek. And the rules I set for myself in creating the list was all of these games either are currently owned by you or were previously owned by you. So they are definitely games that you have some familiarity with. Like, maybe. At least.
Well, some games I have not played and got rid of them.
Oh, yeah. And I will say, the Board Game Geek descriptions of some of these games are ridiculous. I did try to make sure to throw a few in that I think are a little easier than others. But, you know, I threw in a couple that I think are harder as well. So,
but yeah, at least if I have owned them at some point, then yeah, I should.
At least you're familiar with, yeah, like the mechanisms of the game. And so hopefully,
but at least it's the title, so funny. Theoretically.
Board Game Geek descriptions, anybody can write them, right? Like the people who made the game or whatever, whoever created the page. And sometimes it's a very matter-of-fact like statement. Like, in this game, 2 to 6 players do this, blah, 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 blah. And then sometimes it's very flavorful text that has nothing to do with the game mechanisms. And so we're going to be digging into those flavorful ones for the most part. Okay. But I think you're going to do great. Let's see. How many? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have a total of 12 games for you. So, Ambi, are you ready to play?
Yeah, are you keeping score? Or?
Yes, I am keeping score.
And you just decided to do that now.
I sure just did. And I'll say that you are allowed to look at your collection, both owned and previously owned, but you can't click into any game pages because...
Okay, but I can look at it for remembering names.
Yeah, you can look at the list of games you own currently and previously owned if you want.
Owned collection.
Yeah. All right. All of these games came from those lists.
Oh, gosh. If you pick an 18XX game.
I didn't do, you know, I'll tell you right now, there are no 18XX games on this list. I looked and I was like, no, I can't. I'm not. It felt too mean. All right. Our first game, Ambi. Oh, and I should give one caveat. Occasionally, the name of the game is mentioned in the first paragraph. And so I've done some very light editing.
Okay.
But generally, this is, for the most part, the first paragraph is almost verbatim.
Yeah, I've only removed things where. Say the name.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to say the name of the game, but if the flavor text was good enough, I kept it and just removed the name. So, okay. All right, here we go. Number one. Uh-huh. Ahoy, sailors. Are you ready for an adventure? If so, you've come to the right place. Right here with me and my animal crew. Have you ever heard of the Treasure of the Seven? No? Oh, well, what are you waiting for? All aboard!
This is Captain Pepe Treasure Ahoy?
Yes, it is!
When you press that Ahoy Sailors, I'm like, what game do I have with pirates? And I was thinking, oh, maybe it's Captain Pepe. And when you said animal crew, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yes, so this is one of the kids' games from your collection, but the description was real cute. So, all right, so you're one for one so far, Ambi. See, this is easy, right? Like, no big deal at all.
And if I do badly, I can edit it out.
There you go, perfect. The world will be none the wiser. Next up, do we really have free will? Who decides this? Are we controlled by what we hear and what we see, even while thinking we decide freely? This game deals with these questions. While communicating to others, you have to find the right answers to a quiz or find the player who is manipulating the discussion.
What?
I know. This one blew my mind. I have never heard anyone describe this game in this way.
Manipulating the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have free will?
Do we have free will? Is someone manipulating the discussion?
So it sounds like something with like a hidden traitor in it.
It sure does.
But a quiz? What?
Yeah, I don't know why it's described as a quiz.
Is this? Is it like
that's
Insider?
You've got it, Ambi!
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah! Amazing. You are, I was like, do we have free will? Who decides this? I was like, what? Why? No. Insider is basic. For those of you not familiar with the game Insider, it is 20 basically questions. 20 questions with a secret traitor person.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, this is an existential description for this game, which is kind of cool.
The first part, I had no idea, but then you started talking about like the quiz and the hidden traitor. So I'm like, okay, something with a hidden traitor.
All right. You're 2 for 2, Ambi. Let's move on to number 3.
Yay.
The bad guys have taken over our beautiful kingdom, and it's in total chaos. You have to save the world, and quickly. Work together to guide this brave rolling knight through this turbulent adventure that is lined with twists and traps.
Okay, I got it at Rolling Knight, I think. Slide Quest.
Yay! It is Slide Quest. I know, I was like, that one's not obvious at all until you see your Rolling Knight.
Yeah.
Because the knight has a little ball bearing at the bottom of it. And yes,
he's
in this game,
rolling.
Yeah, the players have levers on the sides of the box that they are moving to literally move, tilt the box like an old style labyrinth game. It's so fun. And I feel like this one doesn't get talked about at all anymore, but I really do love it. Like anytime this one hits the table, it's quite fun. Number 4, the Subterra Bravo facility has been thrown into chaos through the player's actions in the previous game that came before this one that I'm not naming. And now the government has sent in a top secret, highly trained special forces unit to shut down the facility and eliminate everything remaining in the base. I will read it again because your face... Do you want to make a guess?
I'm guessing level 7 Omega Protocol?
Yeah, that's it! Look at you!
Oh my god.
I've never played this one, so this one was unfamiliar to me. But I was
once or twice, I think.
It's very dramatic sounding, so.
Yeah. And I never played the previous one, but it's like level 7 escape or something.
And that's escape is what it. Name. Yeah, it was what it had listed in the description. I was like, well, can't say that. That'll give it away. All right, you are currently 4-4. Let's move on to number 5. A game about big ships and big production. Each player will play both as a producer and shipper of goods. Players will decide which products they want to produce and which of the other players' goods they want to ship to a remote island. During these phases, players will be able to set the prices for their goods and try to maximize their cash.
Container.
Yeah, you looked very confident on that one.
That big ships and big goods. I was like, yep. I think that's Container.
You are correct. 5-5, Amby. I have not stumped you yet, so. All right, let's see if I can stump you with number 6. It is more than just a game. It's an experiment, a journey, a team experience in which you can't exchange information, yet will become one to defeat all the levels of the game.
I think this is The Mind.
Yeah!
But I realize this can describe like a lot of my games.
And yet you knew that it was in fact The Mind.
I was thinking The Mind at the beginning, but then I was like, this
more than
be.
Just a game, it's an experiment. Which there was all that discussion going on at the time of, is this a game or not? And we could have just read the BGG description. Oh, it's an experiment. Okay, good. There we go.
It's more than just a game.
It's an experiment. Moving on to number 7. You are a monarch, like your parents before you. A ruler of a small, pleasant kingdom of rivers and evergreens. Unlike your parents, however, you have hopes and dreams. You want a bigger and more pleasant kingdom, with more rivers and a wider variety of trees. In all directions lie fiefs, treeholds, and feudums. Freeholds and feudums. And all small bits of land controlled by petty lords and verging on anarchy. You will bring civilization to these people, uniting them under your banner.
I'm not sure. This
one. Ooh, we may have stumped her.
I know. Well, at first I was thinking Love Letter when it said you're a monarch, like your parents before you. But then I was like, no, but the rest is not Love Letter. Then I was thinking, I don't know. My guess is Dominion.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You were so unsure of yourself. And yet,
I know, because I was like, again, do I have any other games? Or like, were there any other games that would fit that? And I'm not even sure. But then, then Dominion is like, I know Dominion has like a theme like that.
For me, a person who does not enjoy Dominion, this is like, this is a lie. I'm like, this is not in the game. None of this is in the game. I know everybody loves Dominion and I'm just, yeah.
I know that's what like the theme, theoretical theme of it is. You're expanding your Dominion and stuff, but yeah. I didn't know that there was a whole line of monarchs and it went that much into that. Like, okay.
All right. Next up, Amby, this one's a short one.
Uh-oh.
At the bottom of the ocean, no one will hear you scream.
At the bottom of the ocean, no one will hear you scream. What? That's it?
That's it. So it's got, that's all I'm giving you.
Oof. Do I have anything?
You have multiple oceanic games in your list.
I can't think of any right now. Or like something that would have, at the bottom of the ocean, no one would hear me scream. So that implies that like something bad is happening at the bottom of the ocean, right?
If anybody's watching this on YouTube right now, pause the video and put your guesses in the comments below for what you think the game is. At the bottom of the ocean, no one will hear you scream. And don't cheat. We're going to know if you cheat. So pause the video right now. Comment below what you think the game is. And then you'll see if you're right in a few seconds. Do you have
a guess?
Scroll through
my list. The only thing I can think of now with ocean and like getting hurt in the ocean is Captain Sonar.
That is correct.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
That's on the also, description of Captain Sonar? What?
That is the first line of the description of Captain Sonar. At the bottom of the ocean, no one will hear you scream. There is no scream. I mean, I guess you're like screaming at your teammates? Is that like the...
Oh, wait, I guess if you... The goal is to sink the other submarine, right?
Right.
To, like, them. So I guess then they scream and die?
I don't know. The screaming seems odd to me. Like, it doesn't seem what I
think of when I think of yeah, Captain I know. Sonar.
That's why I was very confused, because I'm like, I know Captain Sonar, like, but yeah, that's weird. These descriptions.
You still got a perfect score, Ambi. You're doing great.
It helps that it's limited to games that I have owned at some point.
That's true. I did try and make it a little easier on you. Mm-hmm. All right. This one I think you're going to get right away. This one I think is pretty easy. Renowned mediums are competing to figure out a secret object and prove they can connect with the world beyond.
I think, did I ever have... They're competing, right?
Yep.
I think that's Phantom Inc.
Yeah! Yes, it is! A game you and I both really enjoy. Good. From Resonim.
I was thinking, like, because there was that game Medium.
Yes.
But I guess you wouldn't have said
that's the
Medium.
One, yeah, that's the one where
and I don't remember
you...
if I owned it.
Oh, okay. I own Medium.
I think I might have owned it at some point. I'm not sure.
I don't remember seeing it in your list, but of course I did not really, like, memorize everything you've previously known. So. All right. Perfect score continues. Next up, the year is 1926, and it is the height of the Roaring Twenties. Flappers dance till dawn in smoke-filled speakeasies, drinking alcohol supplied by rum runners and the mob. It's a celebration to end all celebrations in the aftermath of the war to end all wars.
That doesn't tell anything about the game, is it?
It really doesn't. This one is like, good luck.
What?
You want me to repeat it? You want me to say it again?
Okay. Well, it's 1926, right? Mid-20s.
Height of the Roaring
Twenties. Celebration. Okay. So the only thing that I'm picturing is, what's it called? I think I need to look at my list to see what it's called. It's like Picture Perfect. That's what I'm picturing right now.
This is the first one you've gotten wrong, Ambi. It is not Picture Perfect. So I will say to our YouTube viewers, once again, if you want to guess what you think this game is, please pause the video right now. Go down to the comments and comment what you think the game is. But yeah, this one, it's really not fair, but you've been doing great, so I don't feel guilty at all at this point. But yes, the year is 1926. Apparently in the game, Arkham Horror.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's nothing about Cthulhu or Lovecraft or anything in this description, so really, it's not fair at all.
It's about a party, right? The description is like they're partying, and then I guess after that, then disaster strikes.
Yep. All right, we've got two left, Ambi. Intruders have made their way onto your ship, and their goal is total destruction. More than 20 bombs have been detected on board, and the countdown has begun. Your elite bomb defusal team has been called upon to neutralize the threat. Does your team have what it takes to work through the intricacies of the bombs and defuse them all in time?
Is this Fuse?
It is Fuse!
I did not realize we were on a ship for that.
Apparently you're on a ship, because I was like... I was like, I don't know if Bomb Busters has any fun flavor text. And so I was hoping that you might be like, wait, does Bomb Busters have flavor text? So.
Well, I'm pretty sure Bomb Busters is not a ship too. And also this had like defusing more than 20 bombs. So I was like, I'm pretty sure that happens in Fuse. But I was like, I didn't realize that we were on a ship. I guess in the app, there's like this thing, I guess a robot that sounds like a ship thing and saying like 10 minutes until destruction or whatever. I'm learning all about the themes of my games.
Hooray! All right, last game, Ambi. You've only missed one so far, so that you're 10 for 11. So let's see if we can make it 11 out of 12. Yeah! In ancient Egypt, the king has ordered architects to his side. Construct a glorious tomb for this eagle, and I will give a reward to whoever has created the largest tomb. Fail to complete the tomb by the time that eagle dies, however, and it's the death penalty for you on the spot.
Is this Pyramid's Deadline?
Yeah! The Oink games have great descriptions. Yeah. Honestly, it took a lot for me not to just put a whole bunch of Oink games on this list, because their descriptions are pretty awesome.
So that one also, like, mechanically, you're building a pyramid, and then there's, like, a deadline thing, so.
I didn't know how many other Egyptian pyramid building games that you've owned or played, but
I do have other Egyptian-themed games. So I was thinking, like, Ra or First Contract looked like Egyptian type stuff, and I'm like, no, but you're not building a pyramid in any of those.
I definitely did not know that you were building a tomb for an eagle in this game.
Yeah,
so
I didn't know it was an eagle. I was like, wait, did you say eagle? What?
Yep.
But I'm like, the other stuff matches. I didn't know it was for an eagle.
And you're doing it before the eagle dies. That's the timeline. Whoever's done the best job. Yeah. So, like, what if everybody builds a really horrible tomb and the eagle dies? And, like, what do you do then? Do you just put the eagle in the least crummy tomb at that point?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I guess.
Well, Ambi, you got 11 out of 12 of my questions correct. So I'd say that's a pretty awesome score. Yay. Congratulations. And thank you to our friends over at Game Night Picks for inspiring this game. Everybody, please head over to their YouTube channel and make sure you drop them a follow. They do some awesome videos over there. They've been friends and supporters of our show for a long time as well. So please show them a little love.
Yeah. And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, BoardGameBlitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. The Vampire Survivors video game is coming soon to your tabletop. Visit VampireSurvivorsTheBoardGame.com to sign up for updates and learn more about how you can be the bullet hell against relentless waves of enemies. And don't forget that Blitzketeers get 10% off all purchases, including exclusives, at GrayFoxGames.com by using the code BLITZ10 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Barrow. Until next time, we're playing this co-op, it's our moment. You know, together we're glowing. This game is gonna be golden. Bye, everyone!
Bye! And yeah, so I don't know where I was gonna go with that. So yep, well, you'll just cut that off at some point somewhere there, probably.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit
First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently.
TBD.
I remember what it was called.
Ghost stories.
Oh, that's right. I literally forgot what you talked about. I was like, wait.
Me too. It's right behind.
I'm just gonna start the whole thing over because there have been multiple. Like, you would. I'm just gonna start the whole thing over. Okay. Everything is.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna write in ghost stories so we don't forget again.
Okay. Perfect.